This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brian, a little bit of housekeeping.
All right, let's get those dusters
out of the way before we get into the episode.
Our Patreon episodes, new Patreon original episodes,
exclusive to the Carriage House pass holders only.
Sexy, unique episode. CHIPs will be released every Friday. You'll get your regular Ask Ron every Tuesday.
Yeah,
and you'll get your bonus Patreon episodes every Friday.
Every Friday to carry you into the weekend.
Absolutely. So you have something.
Because everyone's always running out of a good podcast when you get to the weekend.
Completely. You have 2 days to be stoked about now.
Yeah.
Tuesday and Friday.
Tuesday regular episodes, Friday Patreon. Please join us, patreon.com/AskRana. Glug, glug, glug.
Martina's
glug,
making
glug, glug. Martina, are you kidding?
Martina's Wait making a nice hot cup of tea.
Well, good for her, but we're starting a podcast right now.
Why don't you just use regular water out of the faucet?
She wants hot water.
Yes, so then boil
hot.
It.
That's instant hot.
I know. I just think, like, you know, you do you need all those? What's that brand called? Mountain Valley?
What Who's is
that?
You? Me?
Yeah.
Do I need it?
Yeah.
Well, it's convenient for Martino, okay. For whoever comes to the carriage
No, it
house.
Is. It's a very nice feature.
So I should wait for the kettle to whistle while we're recording?
No, I get you're right. That would be worse.
Oh my God,
I'm
Brad.
Sorry. I'm just...
Anything else you want to criticize about the carriage house?
Are you crazy? I would live here in a minute.
Yeah, well...
It's a big upgrade to my place.
I don't think we're there yet.
From my place.
Yeah.
Rana.
Happy Valentine's Day, Brian.
Happy Valentine's Day.
How are you today?
I am... thriving.
Really?
Did you ever see that movie Getting Your Mojo? No. How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Yeah.
I'm Stella.
You're Stella today.
I'm Stella today.
Is that right?
Well, I hadn't, because obviously I knew that the Lobsterman and I were going to be doing something this evening.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that you had a plan.
We had sort of like everything in that relationship. It's a very loose plan. So it's sort of like.
He has nothing to do.
He'll just text
and then
me like.
Come to town.
Yes. He'll text me houseboat. Or he'll text me like docks. Or, you know, he'll text me driftwood.
Or crock-a-pack.
He's a man of few words, but a man of many noises.
So. Is he a grunter?
He's a grunter, and when he eats, he's sort of like...
Oh, I hate that.
Really?
Oh, you like to hear other people eat?
No, not really. The thing I hate is when hearing people eat bananas. Other than that, I'm fine, because you hear those teeth.
It's disgusting.
It's so gross, but he doesn't eat fruit. So it's actually... And don't even, Rana.
Doesn't eat fruit?
He doesn't.
What kind of a fisherman doesn't eat fruit? They all eat citrus to keep scurvy at bay. That's an old
Those are pirates.
That's an old pirate trick.
He's not a pirate.
How do you know? I bet that boat comes back. with a few VCRs on it that weren't there when he left.
Well, all I know.
Is he a smuggler, do you think?
You know, I don't ask too many questions.
Is he a snuggler?
He is sort of a, he's a pacer. And then, so in other words, like when we've had a romantic moment, he gets up, smokes in the houseboat inside, which drives me crazy, and paces. And then we relax and we watch, you know, whatever. Maybe we'll watch Splash tonight. A romantic sea movie.
That's one of the five movies that you have in the houseboat.
That's right.
Do you think his wife knows about you yet?
You know what? They're not married. They're separated. And I don't know if she knows. I don't know what she knows. She sounds, truly, she sounds like she really put him through the through some sick
shit.
Oh,
I'm sure she's terrible.
Well, so I've heard.
She turned him gay. Is that what happened?
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean.
That what choice did he have?
He didn't.
Yeah, after he was with such a sea hag.
This is all
I
know.
Such a shrew. He had no choice but to just start for the first time becoming a homosexual male.
Well, I'll tell you how I know he's a homosexual male. You know what he did? He sent me a picture of what the setup is for tonight. First of all, he got a dust ruffle for the bed.
Oh.
Which is that really an upgrade.
Is that a bonus?
For him, I think he thought it was like really fancy and kind of romantic.
I didn't know the bed. Can the dust ruffle get all the way around the bed? Or is it like a Murphy bed?
It's only on one side.
You pull it down.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so built into the wall.
Yeah. So he sort of had
I thought so.
He kind of had to tuck it in on the other side and cut a little
bit
off.
How did it look?
You know, a little, I won't say it looked like you were staying at the Ritz, but
I wouldn't think you would say that.
But it felt like you were staying on a houseboat that had a dust ruffle on the bed.
Okay.
And guess what else was there?
So it looked exactly how it sounds.
Guess what else was there?
What?
In the shape of a heart.
Yeah.
On the bed.
Yeah.
Two lobsters.
Ugh.
Which were alive.
Ugh.
So they moved a little bit, but he was able to, because you know, you can't.
He got them to cooperate?
Yeah. Just for that. I mean, he'd snap the picture in a second, but it was so cute.
He put live lobsters on the bed. The bed's going to smell like fish now.
And I said, that's so sweet. And he texted back, better in crabs. Do you know what I mean?
So he's funny.
He can be cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I agreed. Because although I've never had that.
Crabs?
Yeah.
No, congratulations.
Is that still a thing people even get?
Oh, it would have to be.
I guess so.
It would have to. What do you think? They just extinguished them?
I mean.
Maybe not a lot of people, but there's no chance people don't get
crabs. It's all teenagers,
anymore.
Right?
Who people that shop in thrift stores get them too. You know the comedian John Daly?
Yeah.
Do you know who he is?
Of course,
he's
with
so
the eyes.
Funny.
He's hysterical.
With the crazy eyes.
He's
and he's
brilliant.
Such a brilliant character actor.
He is.
He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm this year.
Oh, cool.
He plays the postman, Larry's postman.
Oh.
He's so funny. We're going to have to have him on the show.
He's one of those people that you immediately just start laughing when you're around.
He's a funny, funny person.
Yes.
He's just funny.
He's funny.
Anything he says is funny.
Exactly. Like Kirstie Alley.
And I heard him tell a story once about buying a sofa. Mm-hmm. From a thrift store, I believe it was.
Oh, no.
And
had
getting
bugs
crabs on the sofa. We're going to have him on to tell the
story. They stay alive?
We're going to have him on to, of course. Yeah, sure. I don't know how long the sofa had been in this thrift store. But that's the story I heard him tell. We're going to have him on. He'll tell the story.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
What a great Valentine's
Day. Yeah, yeah. Well, we can tag him.
And then I've gone on a couple of I like to do a breakfast date because, you know, I go to bed really, really early.
Yeah.
So I've been on a couple of first breakfast dates in LA.
Yeah. Is that a thing people do?
No.
I would never want to have a daytime date with anybody.
Well,
I didn't already know.
I go to bed really, really early.
I never have understood a daytime date.
Really?
You can't look your best on a daytime date. The lighting's not right. You always have to be somewhere. So to me, if you're going to have a date, you need
and
that.
And you've really got to have some blackout curtains.
You need that liminal energy where you're between worlds. So your day is finished.
Rana.
And now what are we going to do? There's a night full of possibility.
Have you ever had your star chart read?
No.
Oh.
Should I?
Well, that was very sort of hocus pocus of you.
Was it?
Well, I don't know. It was nice.
Well, this is what people spend their whole careers and millions of dollars on, is trying to get the moment right. The lighting, the this.
You're right.
The that.
Lighting is
it's
everything.
When,
we say it all the time.
You see a picture of a hotel and you say, I'll stay there.
You're right.
It's because somebody has thought about all of that. Same
You're not
with
wrong.
A restaurant. I want to feel that if I'm on a terrific date, I want to feel that my time only exists in that space, if that makes any sense.
I do. I mean,
and
it does.
So, going to get a half a poppy seed bagel with somebody isn't really
very
that.
Sexy.
A scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another thing if you're dating for a while and okay, you're on a trip together. So now then we're going to go for a hike or we're going to go shopping or whatever we're going to do. But no.
Yeah.
I don't want a first date to be an egg white scramble.
Sure. You don't want to have to floss after.
I don't want to be shocked that I didn't feel attracted to somebody after I watched how they order their breakfast.
Yeah, it is sort of the grossest
meal. Because it's not sexy.
No, it is. It's actually the
breakfast.
Grossest meal of the day.
Well, it also, it's where everybody's neuroses come out.
And then you start,
I'll have
oh my
bacon,
God, you're right.
But I'll have it on the side. And then if you can do it, I'll do a biscuit, but don't bring me butter because I can't have butter. And you're just think, right. What a piece of work.
And people haven't had coffee yet, so they're kind of cranky.
What a piece of work this person is. Or they have coffee breath. What are you going to do? Kiss a person? I mean, no one ever sits across a breakfast table from someone on the first date and thinks, boy, I'd love to get a piece of him.
Well, my friend went on a horrible dinner date once where she had just taken a bite of her Caesar salad and was chewing it, and he just straight up stuck his tongue in her mouth and started making out with her.
Who would do that?
A monster. She never went out with him again.
What kind of a horrible person would do that?
Yeah.
But she never should have ordered the Caesar salad.
You're right.
Believe women. That's, believe women.
That's what I took believe away from women. It too. Yeah. Well, anyway, so my neighbor texted me a picture of...
Yeah.
I guess, like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like feeling good right now, and I think it's showing. Yeah. You mentioned last week that I looked really good.
How skinny you are.
Well, I think I've really taken
the show. 911 is taking off. The podcast is through the roof.
I've been on 4 dates in LA.
Really?
My neighbor took a picture of my door. There was a box of Omaha steaks that one of them had sent me because I saw the return. There was a box of, you know, just chocolates, I think, and which, by the way, that one's over because it was a Looney Tunes Russell Stover.
Oh.
So, like.
So they went straight to CVS and then went straight to your place.
Exactly. There was a card, and then there was a succulent. Yeah.
A succulent. Yeah. Do you think there's a double meaning?
Rana, that is disturbed.
Is it for me to say that?
No.
Or for me to notice? A succulent. I hadn't thought of it until I just said it. Is that what men give other men?
Yeah, because they're like, there's absolutely, first of all, it's
for
like.
For any men that are listening, though, I happen to know Brian loves a beautiful display of flowers.
I do.
If you're given flowers, you want real flowers.
Because I think they look so pretty in my apartment.
Yeah, you love it.
Yeah.
You do like how
I get a lot of light coming in.
Gives the energy, lifts the energy in the place.
You sent me, when I bought my place, you sent me a stunning arrangement.
Yeah.
And I was about to sound like you. I was about to say, and wait a minute. She signed it Lisa Vanderpump because she knows how much I love the Housewives.
I knew you'd think it was funny.
It was hysterical.
And it was pink. It was a hot pink arrangement.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I always have fresh flowers in my apartment. That is true. So, I mean, they're not like that all the time. Usually it's like a sunflower or whatever. But yeah.
Lovely.
I do.
Wonderful.
Well, anyway, so I'm in Boston. So I guess, I don't know if it's, I doubt anyone will take them.
So you've been cleaning up this Valentine's Day.
Cleaning up. What did Mr. Cleveland get you? And that sounded competitive. It's not. I'm genuinely curious.
It did sound a little competitive.
I know, but I
don't consider us to be in competition with each other, so that didn't bother me a bit. But I mean, that'll be the day.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. I doubt anyone in their right minds would send you a Looney Tunes Russell Stover box.
I wish they would, just so I could talk about it. Just so I could send it back to them. Yeah. I'd probably give it to Yadvina.
Yeah.
She'd love it.
Yeah, she could eat them in her Tesla.
You know what? They love anyone from any of those Eastern European countries. They love cartoon things. They love, you know, they like a brand. Any Disney.
Sure.
Or, you know, she probably has a whole shelf of stuffed animals at a house that, you know, prized possessions, that sort of thing.
Fair enough.
In any event, Mr. Cleveland didn't send me anything.
What?
Which I think is very interesting.
Because doesn't he have his daughter works at Cartier or something?
His daughter works for Harry Winston. She used to work for Harry Winston. So he would get you. I don't know if she's between positions. She's planning a wedding. So I think she quit just to plan a wedding.
Wow.
Yeah, she's that sort of girl.
Okay.
She can't possibly do two things at once.
Right.
Yeah.
She's got to be completely.
She can't possibly get me a discount and plan a wedding at the same time.
Yeah, she sounds
not
like a
that
real
I'm
piece
complaining.
Of work.
Not that I'm complaining.
Loud and clear.
I'm complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing from Cartier arrived for you?
Nothing.
Harry Winston.
Never mind Harry Winston. There was not a red box from Cartier. There was, and I'll tell you what, I don't need an expensive Valentine's gift.
Yeah.
But you should certainly send me flowers.
A Valentine and some flowers.
I mean, the day isn't over yet, but if it doesn't arrive before noon, it may as well not arrive.
Are we in the same time zone as Ohio?
We are.
They're Eastern Standard.
Yeah. So it seems to me like somebody's scrambling.
Right.
Or they forgot.
Do you think he died?
I hope not.
Is his health okay?
Yeah. His blood pressure's a little high.
Right.
But that's because he works hard. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, he could eat less steak for sure.
Why don't you guys come out to LA sometime? I have those Omaha steaks now.
There is no we. I'm not bringing him to LA. That's not the kind of relationship we have together.
Is it an expensive flight from Cleveland? I mean, I guess that wouldn't be the problem.
No, what's that the issue for? He has his own plane anyway. That's not a problem. But I don't want, I'm not interested in incorporating him into my life. He's not my person.
He's just
a person.
Got it.
Then the guy that I usually go out with every once in a while in Boston, he, in fairness to him, he, but this I don't consider a Valentine's present. He invited me to the Celtics. You know, he always takes me with the VIP to the floor tickets, wow. floor seats. Yeah, but he gets the seats because he's a minority owner.
Still though, you get to sit on the floor.
Yeah, but he's a minority owner of the team. So it's not, I mean, they're free. You know, it's a perk of the job. So he and I have an, you know, we have an arrangement.
He's an owner of the team?
Of course. So we, very small.
Uh-huh.
You know, just he owns a tiny piece, a sliver. A sliver of the Celtics.
That's still a lot.
It's just a sliver.
Right.
But yeah, so we're going to the Celtics together next week. But, you know, that's not, whatever.
Well, God,
if these people don't learn how to make a gesture, you know, they'll never get any closer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you, I mean, you have a push-pull about you, Rana. I mean, I think they've wanted to get closer and you have sort of staved that off.
Well, that's okay. Oh. I like my life the way it is, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't still send me gifts.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I did get a gorgeous flower arrangement and a beautiful, beautiful box of chocolates from Jordan.
You did?
I did, because he always remembers, and I sent him some pajamas.
That's not.
Yeah.
You sent him pajamas
of
for Valentine's Day?
Of course. I've always give Jordan pajamas on Valentine's
Day. On Valentine's Day?
Yeah, of course. The little red pajamas. Uh-huh. It's cute.
Right.
Yeah. Kids love it. So I sent him pajamas.
Kids love it.
And I sent him some underpants that have hats on them, which are cute. But they were sort of, you know, now normally you would think he's too old for that. But now that kids are wearing all that ironic 80s, this and that.
Right.
So a hot pen and it's so just like, so I'm totally clear. In.
So you went.
I think they were either Off-White or Virgil Abloh.
Luxury.
Or, yeah, I went on one of those. Either
you bought your son luxury.
Or what's the other one? The Corner.
Yeah, the Corner.
Went to the Corner.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of those. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Has he sent you a picture of him in them?
No, I don't want to see a picture of him in them.
But if you must have been picturing him in them.
But the idea is that it's just a sweet thing to do.
It is really sweet.
Yeah.
It's very, very personal.
Speaking of Valentine's,
yes.
We have an update. I can't believe we've never had an update this immediate in our lives.
I know a little bit about this update, only that you've mentioned what it's about, and I am excited to hear it.
So remember our friend who wrote in, and she was dating the guy.
It was the sweetest letter we ever got.
Yes, and she said that she was worried because his birthday was coming up, and she didn't know what to do, and da-da-da. And she didn't want it to be, she didn't want to be pushy, and she wanted to push the relationship faster than it was happening. And he happened to be born right around Valentine's Day.
Right.
On Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
That's right. And we weren't sure.
Who we forgot to mention.
Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, it's President's Day this
Monday,
weekend,
yeah.
Oh,
yesterday world.
Well, we're recording on the Friday.
So who was your favorite president?
Case. So we could have done, who's my favorite president? It's a good question.
I mean, it has to be Lincoln, right?
Does it though? I mean, he did the most.
He did.
Yeah.
And was also sort of...
He's the easiest to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit queer.
Oh, for sure. His little lawyer friend that he used to travel
pen
with.
Pen pal, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That guy.
The traveling lawyer.
Exactly.
Yeah. A little bit queer. Maybe it was just cold. They needed two men in a bed.
It's true.
You ever been in a room with no heat?
Yes.
You'll cuddle up to whoever's in there real
you're
fast.
You're not wrong. I always think of Sense and Self... Please keep going.
Sense and Sensibility.
When Emma Thompson and Kate Winslet are freezing in that room and they're in the bed together, like holding each other really tight.
Oh, I always think of what was the survival movie with Tom Berenger? And they have to get in the snow cave together.
Not
and
Alive.
They take all their clothes off and they're in a snow cave.
Is it Alive?
No. I believe it was Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger.
They get in a snow cave together and they have to take all their clothes off to stay warm.
Do they eat each other?
No, it was more of a sexy thing.
Oh.
When Tom Berenger was sexy. Which was
and when
a long
he
time.
Was, he was.
I'll tell you something. You want to hear a Tom Berenger story?
Okay.
I never thought I did. I was in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
This was a few years ago.
Oh.
When the Mandarin was still the Mandarin. Now it's the Waldorf. I haven't stayed since they changed it over.
Right.
But as you know, and as everyone who listens knows, because I've mentioned this before, when I go to Vegas, I like to stay at a hotel that doesn't have a casino.
Correct.
Because I don't love to go to Vegas, but Mr. Cleveland likes to go to the fight.
Yeah.
Fight night. What can I do?
Yeah.
In any event, well, there we were, day after the fight. So then I do the pool at the Mandarin, of course, you know,
yeah.
have a little t- tortilla chip and a guacamole out by the pool.
Cute. Or,
you know, read the New York Times, Sunday New York Times. And there he was, Tom Berenger.
At the pool.
In the pool at the Mandarin Oriental.
Well, Rana.
I have to say.
He looked good.
He looked pretty good. I mean, Tom Berenger is the kind of guy that can, you like that he looks a little beat up.
Because anyway. He was like a tough guy anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was always played sort of a military guy.
Yes.
And he just looked
platoon, major league.
Yeah, so I don't know if he had a hair lip or what it was. He always had that sort of scar on
his
face.
Yes, he has that. Yes.
Yeah. And that was what was sexy about him.
Well, how about when
he looked a little rough?
Do you remember when you took me?
Yeah.
You were visiting Los Angeles and you took me to the Peninsula Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
On the roof.
Yeah.
We saw.
And
guess what just happened
just
to him?
This just in.
We saw Michael Abbott. We saw Joan Collins
first
up there.
First we saw Joan
First
Collins.
Of all.
Dame Joan Collins.
Dame Joan Collins. Second of all,
skinny.
Skinny talking about CBD oil.
Yep.
Secondly, we saw Michael Avenatti.
Yes, we did.
Having lunch with someone also super handsome in person. We knew then that he was sort of like, it was before the Nike thing and before we knew he was stealing money from Stormy.
It was at the height of defending Stormy.
Correct.
He was enjoying the height of his
he was
popularity.
A bulldog, yes.
And we were really wondering about him. We had a little, we went back to the cabana.
Because he was clearly a sleazeball.
And we had a convo about whether we thought he was on the up and up.
Correct. Up. Turns out he's facing 40 plus years in prison now.
So they're really going to convict this
they
guy.
They did convict him.
But do
they haven't
we
sentenced
think,
him, but they've
now this is actually an interesting question that we can get into. Do we think, as sleazy as he may be,
right,
there is a lot of nefarious, questionable stuff going on in the Justice Department?
Oh,
right
100.
Now.
Oh, I
so
think it's
they're gonna say Roger Stone shouldn't be treated like a drug addict,
right,
or a drug dealer, and this guy who, quote unquote, extorted
right.
Nike. And believe me, this guy was doing all kinds of things wrong.
By the way,
but is it a coincidence that they're going to throw the book at him 2 days after they're going to take the book off Roger Stone's neck? This really is a very serious thing.
Oh, the Roger Stone thing's really legitimately
terrifying.
I don't
know if people genuinely understand that this isn't just exerting influence.
It's a huge threat to the country.
This is an absolute domino waterfall effect. You want
to
talk about trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
Because what this essentially says is prosecutors are a very problematic position in the American justice system anyway.
There
are good prosecutors. There are prosecutors that like to get their numbers up. It all has to do with the incarceration rate, which is a huge shame on our population.
Yes.
And something that has been privatized and that people make millions and millions of dollars off of. And that's something we could talk about forever. But
it's a fine line with a prosecutor.
And it's also why the Ukraine thing matters. Because what they were trying to do, what Trump was trying to do, was get that prosecutor pushed out because he didn't like the prosecutor that was in said, I'm not going to investigate these people. There's nothing to investigate here about the Bidens. He wanted that guy replaced and another guy put in so that that prosecutor would essentially do his bidding. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about manipulating the justice system, not just in our country and in other countries. And when Barr, who there are certain figures in the law who you don't have to agree with them, but you have to respect them.
Yeah, of
Scalia,
course. Sure.
Not a fan, but he was absolutely a man of integrity who, this is how he interprets it. This is how he believes it. That's why it's always puzzling when people say, how could he and Ruth Bader Ginsburg be best friends? Because the answer is they don't see it the same way, but they respect the way that their brains got to that place.
Right.
And also that they are people of integrity. You could probably say that for a few other people in the Supreme Court right now.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that about Brett Kavanaugh.
Probably John Roberts.
But John Roberts, for sure. People that I do not agree with, that I do not want them in control.
Exactly.
But they are not nefarious bad actors.
Right. They just have a different philosophy.
Yes.
That I don't agree with.
Bah, there was some question about him. Whether, which you know, was he a scholar or was he a guy that was going to be a company guy?
Because I think he was a very well respected. Yeah. Yes. I mean, people like my dad, I haven't talked to him recently, but when Barr
was appointed, my father's an attorney. Yeah.
When Barr was appointed, and my dad and I also have very different worldviews, but he said like, I think he's a good, and my dad's a smart guy, but he was like, I think he's a good choice. And I think he's a smart person. And I think that's a good appointment.
Well, that has not proven to be the case.
No, it has not.
And never was there a more bold... Now imagine, there's enough trouble with Trump, but the Justice Department is supposed to be this independent entity.
Yeah.
Now imagine that a prosecutor who has a certain amount of personal discretion to follow a case. That is part of what's fascinating about the law. When these people take cases, they hand the case to somebody and they hope that that person will do... That person thinks the same way that they do. But it's really at the discretion of that attorney or that prosecutor to run that case. And it's the same thing with judges, why it's so important how we appoint judges and who we appoint, because if you only have your team in, you're not really getting impartial justice.
Correct.
And so for the top attorney in the country, prosecutor in the country, to step in, after those guys had been building that case for years.
Four prosecutors quit the case. One quit the department.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
For him to step in and say, your work doesn't matter. I don't respect the case that you built. And I'm going to do whatever I want on this. He could do that at any level in the country.
Yep.
It is unprecedented.
It really is. It's like, do you know this, Ronna?
Even Richard Nixon knew to quit.
Yeah.
Before he was impeached.
Listen, Richard Nixon also was...
Say what you want about him, but he said...
A pathetic, neurotic, crazy guy.
Yeah.
He said, I quit. He also did create, you know, some... Like, Environmental Protection Agency was under
EPA,
Nixon.
Yeah, sure.
He did some things that weren't
But this
awful.
Is a very serious
yeah,
thing.
This is like next level.
Yeah. No, this is actually... more damaging. People were so focused on the impeachment proceedings. This might be one of the most damaging things. But you think it's a mistake that Avenatti, who went after Trump, is going to end up in jail?
Is going to end up in jail.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what else he did? He also frauded Stormy out of money from that book.
Oh, he's frauded.
Allegedly. I think that's still alleged.
Phil's Coffee.
Yeah.
He was involved with that.
Really?
Yeah. He was using slime. He was taking... What he would do is he would tell the client they had a settlement. Let's say they got $40 million or something. He'd say, oh, they haven't paid us yet. As soon as they pay us, I'll pay it to you.
Got it.
And he would take the money, and he was paying off his debts on his Phil's Coffee...
account?
He would have invested in Phil's Coffee.
Okay.
And so he was paying off his, you know, he was robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for your kind and hilarious treatment of my letter. More than the advice, you were all so damn sweet and funny that it got me to totally relax about the whole thing, and the birthday itself turned out great in all caps. Thank you so much for everything. I said, what did you end up doing? We're dying to know. I did a mashup of all the advice I got. Asked if we could just hang out, quote, this week. No mention of B-Day or V-Day. He suggested the birthday.
Great.
Isn't that so wonderful?
Yes.
Felt dinner was too formal for our weird thing we have, so we went out for drinks, but I paid. Parentheses. Talked to our fave bartender behind his back so she wouldn't let him pay, which I love because it implies that he pays all the time.
Yeah.
Gave him a casual gift of fancy versions of his favorite snack. So low commitment, low stakes, but showed I cared.
Well done.
And he was really grateful and touched. So not exactly what you said, but in the spirit.
That's right on.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. I'm so happy for all the love that everyone's getting except for you, Ronna.
I said, can I read this as a follow-up? She said, totally. I said, and then she said, honestly, just hearing you guys break it down and be fun with it took all the nervous energy out of it and reminded me that I can handle it.
That was so sweet.
The best part. So thanks to all three of you. Also, Justin Kirk guessing I'm Jewish and saying I was funny didn't hurt.
There you go.
Isn't that sweet?
Can I keep the sweetness going with a couple of iTunes reviews?
Okay, sure.
This is from Nick Knack.
And I did hear what you just said, that everyone was getting love except for me. And that's not true, Brian, actually.
I didn't mean it as anything.
Because I got love from the only man in my life, and that's Jordy.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you,
that matters.
And then he got some from
but
you.
But I mean, if these men think I'm going to just drop everything and go to, you know,
no.
Switzerland with them skiing next month.
Is that on the table?
Oh, of course. I'm not going to do that. If I want to go to Switzerland, I'll go. I don't need to go with Mr. Cleveland.
So you're upset that you haven't received anything from Mr. Cleveland and he wants you to go skiing with him in Switzerland next month?
So what? I should just drop everything? You've got to remember, you have to be consistent. Okay? It's Valentine's Day. Send a woman flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. He doesn't have a secretary that could send flowers?
I think they're called assistants, Rana.
No, he has a secretary for sure. She might be an executive assistant.
That's fair. Yeah. She's middle-aged, I assume.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you think she's getting his attention?
I hope whoever else he's dating got flowers. That's what I'll say.
Rana, I really feel sorry for you.
Really?
Well, I just...
Why do you feel... Why would you say you feel sorry for me?
I definitely don't feel sorry for you. I just wish he had said something. That's all
I'm saying. There's nothing to feel sorry about. It's just, am I right or am I not right? He should have done something. He didn't. He'll pay the price.
By you not going to Switzerland with him.
Correct.
Yeah. Honestly, that is a big price to
pay.
If
I want to go to
Switzerland,
I'd want to
cuddle with someone in Switzerland.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. These people either improve your life or they don't. Mm-hmm. What I don't need is trouble. Don't bring any trouble into my life.
Right.
So if you want to bring fabulous things into my life, I'm interested in that.
But no slights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in people that get... It means he got comfortable.
Troublemakers.
Don't get comfortable.
Never.
No.
No. What
fun
is that?
I'm too old for comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not settling for comfortable.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Everyone should be on their best behavior.
Yeah.
At KnickKnack8989 said on iTunes...
names.
I know. I love it. Rana and Brian are truly dreams, excuse me. Rana comes to her new pod with a fresh take on her classic humor, balanced by Brian's off-the-cuff brand of humor. Their riffing and improv-style approach and even the intro song never failed to put a smile on my face and lighten my mood.
That's the second time this week someone has said how much they love the music.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it too.
It's fun, isn't it?
McGovernator16 says, excuse me, why aren't you listening? Life can only get better with Rana's parentheses and Brian's thoughtful advice, helpful tips, and the right amount of, you're going to hate this word, sass.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah,
in that.
I didn't think that you'd like that.
But I know what they mean.
Yeah, just it's like, it's funky.
It's what they call basic, to use the word sass.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the right use of basic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
Come up with another word.
Totally.
Yeah.
Swimboy5 says...
Swimboy.
Rana's voice is like butter. Is that anti-Semitic?
No, but they're referencing...
Coffee talk.
Yeah.
Rana and Brian make the perfect team, down to earth yet extravagant advice mixed with humor. I feel more and more fabulous with each episode. And then Jim Turner says...
Jim Turner.
Do you know him?
No, wasn't there a Jim Turner... wasn't he a slave? The Turner Rebellion?
Oh, yes.
Was that Jim Turner or a different
name? Was it Nat Turner?
Nat Turner.
Yeah, I think it was
okay,
Nat Turner.
Okay, I apologize.
No, that's all right, Rana. Lindsay Burke says, one day when I make Rana money instead of the current Brian money situation I'm in now.
You should be so lucky.
I'll buy all of the products recommended on the show. For now, I'll just follow the great advice given by this great duo. In any event, I was watching season two. I don't know if we want to. Actually, I'll stop there. It was a Big Mouth reference.
Okay.
And that they
it's are. A great show.
Oh, wait, okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, I did a voice on Big Mouth.
I didn't know this. So in any event, I was watching season two finale of Big Mouth when I heard none other than Rana's voice making a cameo as the intellect sphinx.
I play the intellect sphinx. I'm very good friends with Jennifer Flackett and Mac Levin. I'm very close with them. And of course, everyone knows Nick Kroll and I are like, you know.
Yeah.
You're made of rubber.
He's like your nephew.
I'm made of glue.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Has he met Jordan?
Of course. Oh, Jordan loves Nick.
Really?
Oh, he's such a fan. Goes to all his stand-up shows.
Yeah.
He loves all. His comedy is tailor-made for Jordan.
Okay.
And Nick is such a fashion plate.
He always looks good.
Undercover fashion plate. He has fabulous style.
I
don't know if people realize that.
You're right. He really
does. I think they think he just sort of looks casually fabulous. He has fabulous style.
Yeah.
Impeccable taste.
Yeah, he really does.
Anyway, all three of them. Uh-huh. And of course, Andrew Goldberg, too, who created the show with them.
Right.
They all said to me, Rana, could you come in and do a voice for this? We have the part just for you. So I played the intellect sphinx.
And this Lindsay Burke says that she can't believe that's not like your nickname now.
Intellect sphinx.
Because you sort of are one.
Well, anyway, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
I guess not.
But it was such fun. I have to see if they're going to have me back again for that.
That's, I can't believe it. Yeah. Rana, look at you.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Did you have
so
to go out fun. To Hollywood to record it? Or did you?
Yeah, I did it while I was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
All right.
Rate, review, shoot. Subscribe on iTunes.
They're not doing it enough, Brian.
I know they're
How do
not.
We get them to do it?
You just have, listen, it's what Rana and I want. You just have to do it.
And are they telling other people to listen
you
to the show?
You really have to tell other people to listen to the show.
I mean, I don't mean to say make it sound like we're not a huge hit, because we are.
No, we are. But
there are so many people that could benefit from that.
Couldn't agree more.
And I help.
And you know what? Those of you who know that we're on patreon.com/askrana.
That's right, we are.
And that's where you really get extra special treatment.
More about that later.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we have a big tease for that later.
Okay.
All right, in the meantime, let's talk to a wonderful guest.
All right, let's take a break. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Okay, wait a minute, Brian.
There is a queen among us.
How she came, how and why she came all the way to Marblehead, Massachusetts, when I happen to know she has two children.
Yeah.
Under the age of 4, I think, which is otherwise known as a death sentence. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, I do.
One is adorable and life gets busy. And then two, you think,
it might as
well
be 50.
Will I ever be a person again? Will life ever be about me again? And the answer is mostly no.
And she's on top of that, producing amazing content every single minute.
She has a rabid fan base. We will be lucky.
By the way, she's an OG for the media.
No question.
She's like an original queen for this media. Yeah.
She's been around maybe longer than I have. Yeah.
Well, in the podcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. Not in real. No, of course. She's gorgeous and young and has the most beautiful skin.
As
and has
do you.
Never taken a bad picture from what I can
ever.
Say.
Ever. We did a photo shoot just now and there wasn't one bad picture of.
She's almost like a ghost. You know how you take a picture and the ghost appears in the background?
Yeah, she's scary.
It's almost. No, but it's just. Well, it's scary how good she looks. But it's almost like she looks perfect every time you take the picture.
She looks like a Victorian doll.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Jewish American girl doll.
Fair enough.
Allison Rosen.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a wonderful introduction. Are ghosts known for always taking wonderful pictures?
I don't know.
I'm confused by this, but I'm flattered.
If a spirit shows up in the background of a picture, it's not like you say, oh, that's a terrible picture of that ghost. They always look they came right out of the portrait.
You're right. Yeah. It's never like, oh, we can't post that one of the dead girl behind the curtain in the corner. Like, she looks radiant.
We really couldn't have a better advice giver here, because Allison Rosen is your new best friend.
She
really
is.
Does. She's an instant friend. So we can't say the name of this person. They wanted to remain anonymous.
Okay.
But we're calling this person.
Oh, there's our song. Oh, we love this song.
It's so cute.
Do, do,
do. Uh-oh.
Do, do, do. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I know you're remaining anonymous, so maybe we'll call you Francis.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you, dear?
Oh my gosh! I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. I've been such a fan of you for like years.
That's so sweet.
You are on with Brian.
Thank you. Hello.
And Rana.
Hello.
And Allison Rosen, if you can believe it.
Allison.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, Francis.
We're calling you Francis. Hello. We just decided. Did you ever know about Francis the Badger? She makes a tea party at her house, Tea for Francis.
No. Was that a children's
book? It's a wonderful children's book, yeah.
Oh.
You'll be Francis the Badger. So what's happening, Francis the Badger? Tell us what's happening.
Okay, well, I have a situation with a hairstylist. It has kind of some background. I don't know if I should give you just like jump to the question or
no,
give us some background.
Give us a little background. If it's taking too long, don't worry, I'll let you know.
Okay, great. I know you will. Okay, so in November, I was due with my second child, and I wanted to get a haircut before I had the baby. And my friend recommended this hairstylist, Lauren, to me.
Okay.
So I called Lauren, and she couldn't get me in before my due date, so she referred me to her coworker, Mary, who she said I would really like.
Okay.
So I got this haircut from Mary, and I really liked her. And part of the reason I really liked her was because she, like, talked all about, like, oh, and if you comb your hair this way, and if you blow dry it this way, and all these, like, styling tips. And I was like, wow, okay, this is great.
Three-way poncho.
But,
Excuse me?
Suzanne Summers had something called the three-way poncho you could wear three ways.
Oh, sure, like those. Oh, okay.
Like the infinity dress.
Or the multiples. What was it called? Where it's units. A tube top, and now it's a dress.
Yeah. That's the infinity dress. Yeah.
Okay, exactly, yeah. The infinity dress. Okay, so yeah, she gave you a lot of options.
Yeah, she like taught me a ton about my hair. Great like styling tips. I walked out. I loved the haircut. I was like blow drying every day. And then I had a planned C-section with my second baby. So I actually even got to do my hair that day.
Oh, congratulations to you. How good were the pictures? Did you put a little lipstick on before you took the picture with the baby?
No, what a missed opportunity.
Right. Don't make those. Look, if you
two out of three of us are shaking.
If you have a third, don't make that mistake.
Have a third so you don't have to make that mistake.
You're not kidding. Mila Jovovich just had another child, a third child. And she's so stunning anyway. She was really, you know, they talk about that, what's her name, Blondeau, the most beautiful girl in the world. She was like a guest kids model. Mila Jovovich was the most beautiful girl in the world.
She really was.
She was so pretty.
And continues to be gorgeous.
She does.
And
she's seems a very interesting person.
Yeah. And she just put on a slick of red lipstick before she took that picture with that baby, and she looked gorgeous. Okay.
Take a tip, Francis.
Your hair looks good. I love that you didn't have to schvitz your way through the delivery, so you had a perfect blowout.
No, puff for her.
Go on.
Pretty wonderful.
Well, that's what I had to do with my first baby. I was in like 12 hours of labor, and then I had an emergency C-section. My pictures were terrible. So this time I was like, let's kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I sent out pictures of me and the baby, and people literally wrote back and they're like, oh my gosh, the baby's beautiful and your hair looks great. And I was like, okay,
win, great. Yeah.
I want to go to Mary.
Hitting the ground running. Yeah.
But so the problem is,
I can already tell you there's no problem, but I want to hear what the situation is, but I already know what we're going to do.
A place of hair privilege.
Go on.
Well, so the problem is after I had the baby, I stopped blow drying and styling my hair every day, and my haircut looked terrible. It looked so bad if you weren't blow drying it and doing it every day.
Well, what kind of hair do you have? Is it curly? Is it straight? What is your hair?
No, it's like very fine and thin. And that's kind of where the problem comes in, because so I went back and saw Mary a few weeks ago and I was like, hey, I love you so much. Great haircut. But I have to be honest with you. I'm not blow drying and styling it. And like, I just need like a low maintenance haircut. I have a toddler. I have a newborn. This is like my life. I'm just being real with you. And she was like, okay, great. I hear you. But then she gave me another haircut that really needs styling and blow drying. I think because I have really like fine thin hair, she is giving me like what she considers the most low maintenance haircut she can in good conscience give me, because I think if she went more basic, it would be kind of, you know, it would fall a little flat. But her style involves like there's back combing and blow drying and you're going in all these different directions, and it's just not happening for me. And so my hair looks weird.
I think there was a time and a place for Mary.
Yeah.
And the time was the past, and the place was wherever you live.
Yeah.
And now it's time to find someone who can truly give you a low maintenance haircut. And it makes me sad to say that, because I was really liking Mary up till now.
Yeah. Well, there's also a slight issue though. What's the length of this hair, can I ask you?
It's a bowl cut. Very sensible.
It's a couple inches below my shoulder.
Oh, so it's sort of long hair. Okay.
It's a little long, yeah.
And so what did she give you? Too many layers or something?
Kind of, yeah. Like, it's like I have bangs, and they're kind of, like, I think the way she wants me to do them, they, you know, if I was blow drying it all perfectly, they would be really framing my face really nicely.
But what did you used to do? Have you had other low maintenance hair periods in your lifetime that you were happy with? And what was that haircut, may I ask? Because part of the problem here may be that people can't keep cutting this hair. You may have to grow it out. So you may be in an in-between phase. But my question is, did you ever have a haircut that you didn't have to blow dry that you were happy with?
Yes. Yeah. I've had people give me just kind of like straight across bangs before. And then, I mean, I'm aware my hair doesn't look like it's 100% best self if I don't blow dry it. But if I pull it back in a like a low bun and I've got my bangs and they're just straight, it's like, yeah, this is totally fine.
What do you know about this Lauren?
Well, so that's my question.
Oh, you want to cheat on me?
I know she's given my friend great haircuts and my friend looks great all the time. And she just, it's like an easy breezy haircut. It's like a couple layers, looks great, very simple. But I'm like, can I go see Lauren in the same salon after I've been seeing Mary? I like don't know how to deal.
Do you live in a major metropolitan area?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so you don't have that many choices.
So Lauren and Mary are kind of like the cream of the crop.
They're the only.
They're two of the best that I have to choose from.
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted to go back to that straight across bang look, would you have to grow your hair out, or could you get it? Do you think you could get another haircut from where you are right now?
I think I could get another haircut from where I am because they're pretty long. That's another thing is I was like, I know I look better with a longer bang, but could we cut them like a little short so they, you know, it buys me some time so I don't have to get a haircut every 6 to 8 weeks because I have two little kids and that's like not happening.
Allison Rosen also has two little kids. And I'm wondering if your hair routine has changed at all or if you've ever broken up with a stylist.
Mm. Good questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like go to someone once and then I decide I don't like it and I never go back. So I don't have this problem.
You're moving on.
I've never become monogamous except the guy that I go to. So I have naturally curly hair, but I straighten it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. And the guy that I go
straightens
to.
Straightens very nicely.
Thank you. Yeah. The guy that straightens it, I've been going to him forever. Uh-huh.
Do a straightening, a relaxer?
I do Japanese straightening.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But has my hair routine changed? I find that I get it straightened a little more frequently because I don't have time to blow it dry straight.
Got it.
Because I just don't have the time to do it like I used to.
Yeah.
But it's very long right now, but I've thought of cutting it a number of times just to make it easier, but I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking I'm going to.
It seems like it's a tricky thing for a woman with especially hair that's probably longer than shoulder length like yours, Allison, and like yours, Frances, that like, yeah, because you sort of have to blow dry it, right? I mean,
depends.
It just seems like I know nothing
Frances
from it.
Frances just is not in that phase right now. Here's the situation.
Rana, have you ever broken up with a stylist?
Are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Fine.
This is why I asked, for me. I knew you would know how to do it tactfully.
All right, Rana.
You're not going to break up with her. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to talk to your friend that goes to Lauren. And you're going to have your friend talk to Lauren.
Mm.
And you're going to have your friend say, you know, I sent Frances here. I really wanted her to come to you. You weren't available. She went to Mary. And between us, assuming your friend has a good relationship with her hairdresser, between us, she loves the haircut that Mary gave her, but it's just too high maintenance. She just had another baby. Is there a day that you work that Mary doesn't work? That she could come in and try you out for a haircut. And if that hairdresser doesn't understand that, because that's their whole business. The whole business is stealing clients from each other and cheating on each other.
It's a very backstabby business.
Oh, yeah. Exciting.
If your friend isn't able to pull that off, then you got to go find a new hairdresser somewhere. But your friend, you should enlist your friend in this.
Absolutely.
And
by the way, what is an easier solution than getting someone else to do the work for you?
And you also say,
thank you.
And you do say, I love the haircut she gave me. It's just not practical for me.
Yeah.
So, and I did, you know, when I tried the second time to tell her I need something more practical and really it didn't quite work out.
Do you have any costumes?
Here we go.
Like a jailbird or
a wig.
Yeah, but Brian's costume, that would involve a wig, Brian.
A jailbird?
No, but if she came with a wig, she couldn't get the haircut in the
That's
wig.
Not true. You, Mary, that's not true. Because like, this oh no, this, sorry, Frances, that's not true. Because what you can, everything else about your face can change. Do you know what I mean? You could dye your eyebrows or yeah. pencil them in. Mm. You could put a bunch of freckles on
yeah.
you.
Whoa, a B mark.
Like Raggedy okay. Ann.
Exactly.
Yeah. Raggedy Ann.
Black yeah. out of tooth.
Thank you. Eye patch. Yes. Or you could dress like the Hamburglar.
Yeah. Who I love.
Who I love. And wear a you could wear a mask.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actually that's a solution too that isn't very good.
So that would be if both work the same days always.
Exactly.
I would have your friend try and find out if there's a day. The other thing you could do, you may not want to pay for it, is I bet Lauren would make a house call. So she comes to your house, cut your hair at your house.
Oh my gosh, wow.
But it'll be a little more expensive, but if it's worth it to you, you could do it. Plus, that might be more convenient with the baby.
Are you partnered right now?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because what you could also do if Mary sees you.
Get your husband to watch a bunch of YouTube videos and learn how to cut your hair.
No, but yes. But also what you could do is if you see Mary, you could just say like, just so you know, I have two kids and I'm going through a really messy divorce. Because that'll shut the door.
Or you could just say, just so you know, I have two kids and yeah. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go in screaming, you did this to me.
Yeah.
You made me do
that's
this.
That's another good answer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's right.
Are you good enough friends with the friend that you can try that?
I think I'm going to try that because I think she has a good rapport and she's a very like tactful person. So I think she could pull that off.
Okay. And if Lauren doesn't understand, then Lauren isn't worth anything anyway. Hairdressers really need to hold you confidence. That's what they need to do.
It's true. So, they keep a lot of secrets, those people.
That's what I would recommend.
All right, Frances, best of luck. And I think this is an easy solution for you.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I was totally stumped by it. And now I feel like I know exactly what to do.
Let us know what happens. We always want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Kiss, Thank kiss. So Congratulations on the baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Allison, have you ever broken up? Oh, please, go ahead.
Can I tell you? I decided, because I was not lying when I said I go to a new person once and then I don't. And by the way, these are like
friends. And why is friends, that?
I don't know. I think I just don't know what I want with my hair. And then I
but
go.
But has your haircut changed in the last 25 years? Let's be
not
honest.
Not really. Not yeah. really. But anyway, I decided I am just going to learn how to cut my own hair because had them cut my hair. How hard can it be? You lift it up over here. You point the scissors this way. You
I've cut
it
my
this
own
way,
hair before.
How hard can it be?
Oh,
so
no.
I'm like, I'm going to do it myself. And then I started thinking about it. And then I thought, what if I'm so good at it that all my friends want me to cut their hair?
Yeah.
And then I don't have time to fit them in, but like I have trouble saying no. So then my whole life is going to be cutting my friends' hair. But then I did cut my own hair and I wasn't good at it. So I didn't have that problem.
Did you have shears?
Nope. Yeah. I decided
household scissors.
I'm like a person who.
Children's scissors.
I used.
Blunt scissors.
Yeah, just like the things we used to open the mail. I was like, I'm like a person who decided I was going to bake something and was missing a few ingredients. And it's like, oh, that won't matter. I mean, I think that the scissors are very, very important.
I do think
yeah,
they're
probably.
Important.
Anyway, and I think I also got impatient and didn't finish watching the YouTube videos. And the whole thing was a disaster. It
How
was
do you
really
get the
bad.
Back of your head when you're cutting your own hair?
Well, my hair is long enough that I just kind of
pulled
it around.
Forward, yes, but you can't be sure that it's you have even. To measure the evenness of it.
It was bad. Yeah. It was really bad. Yeah. I realized how quickly you can make yourself look terrible. How did it go when you did it, Brian?
Horrible. I was in college though. But like, and so I would do it and sometimes we'd get stoned and we would pretend that we were in a salon called Julia Scissors and we just thought it was like the best.
That
and
my is friend so would, funny.
My friend would cut my hair and say, welcome to Julia Scissors. And she'd throw a towel over me and I pretend that I was a client. It was, yeah, I was one cool kid.
Honestly, that sounds adorable.
All right.
Okay.
Hi, Brian, Rana, and guest.
Okay.
I am not someone who makes a big deal out of my birthday and invites everyone to celebrate. Excuse me. I prefer to just spend it by myself.
Okay.
After a long year, I decided to buy myself a plane ticket to London during the week of my birthday and do a solo trip.
Wonderful.
When I bought my plane ticket, I told my friends, and one of them surprised me and bought one as well.
Oh, no.
I was initially disappointed by this because I wanted to do a solo trip. But after some reflection, I got excited to spend some time with a great friend I don't see often.
Oh, my God.
We decided that we want to split our time in London with another European destination. When we decided on a location, she wasn't able to book the ticket and hotel because she didn't have the money available. Ugh. However, this has turned into excuse after excuse, and we still haven't bought the tickets or Airbnb 4 months later. My job pays fairly well and hers substantially lower, and she has family, pets, other commitments to deal with, so I totally get that she doesn't have the expendable income ready. But when you book a vacation, you do have to think ahead and buy the tickets when they are reasonably priced. We're going to fly. How do I approach her about actually booking these tickets, but also be respectful of her situation? I don't want to come off as rude or stress her out, but I am now stressing out about not having things booked. I appreciate and look forward to your advice.
Okay.
Unsigned.
I'm absolutely stumped by this. So she said she bought the ticket, or she just announced that she was going away.
Announced that she was going
to
do.
I decided to buy myself a plane ticket. I hope
so. You're right. So I guess
a plane ticket to London during the week of my birthday and do a solo trip. When I bought my plane ticket, I told my friends, and one of them surprised me. Okay, and bought one as well.
Oh, so maybe they haven't bought the London to Europe portion. Maybe that's
my understanding.
That's the issue here.
Which, by the way, you can do practically day of.
When we decided on a location, she wasn't able to book the ticket and hotel because she didn't have the money available. Okay, so listen, two possibilities here. One very clear one. Take the sad trip alone. That's it. Done.
She's but the coming friend has the ticket. Oh, the week of
the birthday.
You mean
right?
Take the
so
trip.
So let's say they're going, take the Paris portion right. or the Rome portion or whatever it is on your own.
Yeah.
You wanted a solo trip anyway. So just say to her, look, I'm so excited we're going to be in London together. I really want to book this. It's getting closer to the time. I want to stay where I want to stay. I want to do what I want to do. And if you want to join me, that's terrific. But I am going to book the side trip. I'm going to Rome. I'm staying at the Hotel de Russie. And it's going to be 1,700 euro a night. And I'm having dinner at, you know, Pierluigi. And then I'm taking a private tour of the Vatican.
Right.
And then I'm buying myself a wrap at Laura Piana.
Uh-huh.
And then that's it. So if you want to do that.
My job pays fairly well.
If you want to do that, I'd love for you to join me in Rome. But if you don't, that is my birthday gift to myself. I'm going to Rome and I'm doing this and this and this and this. Or
I would have
Paris
honestly,
or wherever.
The second someone told me they were coming on my solo trip, I would have started to cry.
Yeah.
Like to my, I would have gone home and just would have like.
Horrible.
Because she's saying it's
without asking.
A chance.
Now she's delaying
like
you?
Rana and I one time were in Budapest together.
Yes, we were.
But that was something I was really looking forward to because we were like both excited about
we
it.
We also discussed it.
Of course, we discussed it many times.
But I did actually, in that instance, I actually jumped on Brian's trip. I said, would you mind if
you
I
did, but
you
I was
Budapest?
So excited.
Yeah.
Like legit, like you know when you're excited
would you
and when
said
you're not.
Now? Would you ever have said no?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have said like, oh, great, maybe we can get a dinner. Or like, maybe we can hang out for a day.
Okay.
If I didn't want to, I would have done that. Yeah. I don't think I would have said no. I would have said like, oh, cool, this is what I would have said. I planned this trip because I really want to do it by myself. I just got divorced. All these things are true, da-da-da. But I would have said, so maybe like a night or two we could hang out.
Yeah,
That's what I would have said.
If you're there too, I'd love to get dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I know, I was legit stoked.
We had a great trip.
Sounds
and we
really
also
fun.
Didn't spend every minute together.
No.
Which was the secret to our trip.
That's right.
She said that she initially was disappointed, but then got excited to spend time with a great... she said a great friend she doesn't see often. Because I'm wondering, like, how close are they if they don't see each other
it's
often?
It's a ballsy move to be like, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Surprise, I'm coming.
Right.
Do London together. Do you let your actual birthday gift to yourself be whatever this side trip is. Completely absolve yourself of any of this anxiety that you have now where you're worried about she can't afford to go. She can't afford the train ticket. She isn't going to want to eat where you want to eat. She isn't going to want to stay where you want to stay. There is no worse feeling. It's like the same feeling as getting a bad massage where you say, I'm still paying the same amount for this and it's not going to be any good.
Right.
And you're going to spend
resent this trip.
You're going to spend all this money to go to Europe and you're not going to do it the way you wanted to do it.
And also, this is supposed to be your trip for yourself, but the position you're in now, you're taking care of her and
correct.
You're trying to make concessions for
her and figure
it out. Don't do that.
And I will also, I think it's, by the way, I do think that solo travel for me, after a little while, I want to talk to somebody.
Sure.
So I do think it's a good idea that part of this trip
Yeah, it's a best of both worlds trip.
It really is. And you should look at it that way, that actually it's kind of nice that you're going to have a friend join you for part of it. But I agree. If you're able to just take that second leg by yourself, just be direct and honest and not in an email, because I always think those things come off shittier.
They do, as much
as I love writing an email, they just come off shittier. So just call her or have a conversation with her.
Hey, I've been thinking about it. I really want to book this. And I understand that you're not ready to pull the trigger, but I want to. And so I'm going to do this and this and this. And if your financial position changes and you want to join me, if you want to say that, you can. Actually, I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't offer it to
I wouldn't either. And you're not doing anything wrong.
No.
You might be uncomfortable doing it, but no one could get upset with you for saying that.
And if they do, that's her problem and she'll have to get past
it. And then maybe the solo trip is all yours.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I think it's nice to do London together and then do the other thing by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You read this one.
Sure. You read this one. Dear Ron and Brian and lovely potential guests.
Oh, thank you.
Allison Rosen. Mm. To give you some background, my mom was a single mother until I was about 14 and my stepfather came into our life with four sons. We all immediately clicked. We're a close blended family and my stepdad raised me as his own. Very nice. The boys have a strained relationship with their own mother and adore my mom. My mother and I are very close. We live in the same city and she watches my one-year-old son 2 days of the week, her and my mother-in-law share, while my husband and I work during the day. One of my stepbrothers lives in the same city and visits our parents often. He's married and has 3 young kids. They never leave the kids with a babysitter. They are always in tow. Here's the issue. My sister-in-law is wonderful and lovely. She invites me to everything and treats my son with a lot of love and affection. I couldn't ask for a better sister-in-law. However, I'm becoming jealous of her relationship with my mom. Because my brother hangs out so much with our dad, my sister-in-law gets extra time with my mom. Random weeknights, I see a Facebook post from my mother of her with my sister-in-law having drinks and cuddling with the kids. When they do hang out, they stay up having wine as late as 4 or 5 in the morning, gossiping and catching up.
Wow.
She doesn't work and my mother is retired. We are all Hispanic and I feel she's more in touch with our culture than I am. I feel I'm more Americanized than my mother. I don't speak Spanish like her and my mother. Also, my family is Catholic as well as my sister-in-law. I converted to Judaism, so we don't do Christmas or Easter in this household. It seems like every time I see my mother, I see her. I haven't spent any time alone with my mother. I recently invited our parents to my birthday. It was for adults, and I didn't invite my brother and sister-in-law because I knew they would bring their kids while mine would be asleep in his room. We drank wine and played silly card games. My mother seemed irritated her best friend wasn't attending. As a mother, I know a love for your child is different than anything else, and I know she loves me, but love isn't the same thing as being the favorite. It's true. Is my sister-in-law now her favorite? Do I say something? What good would it do? How do I shrug it off? Any advice to the quiet, to quiet the boiling resentment? Sincerely, Chopped Liver.
Well,
it's a heartbreaking question, actually.
Yeah. I guess it is.
It's really sad.
Yeah, because I hate to tell you, they're best friends. I mean, who else? I don't. There's not a person in my life I would stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning talking to. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Except for Rana.
Just one. But
by the way, Rana might stay up that late. There's no way I would.
No.
I get stressed out even hearing that.
That someone was up till 4 in the morning.
I mean, you must really. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they're talking drinking wine and gossiping till 4 in the morning.
And literally speaking a language you don't speak comfortably. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like talk about shutting. Not that they're doing anything wrong, but just like that shuts you out.
But I wouldn't be surprised if their relationship busts up at some time soon.
You think it's too hot?
Yeah. Flying too close to the sun with this one.
Maybe.
I think it's a little hot. I do. I think that they're going through like a little romance period. And maybe it's lasting longer than you'd like it to.
But if they're loving this hard, honey, mm-hmm. they are going to fall out.
A couple of fiery Latinas staying up till 4 or 5 in the morning drinking wine.
That's right.
And your mother's got a bunch of time on her hands. I think there's something brewing.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the second your sister-in-law slights your mother, because at this point it could be a minor thing.
Deal her a bad card.
Yeah. Truly. And by the way, you could set that up.
Oh, here we go.
A trick deck?
You could. Yeah.
Here we go. Classic
easy.
Brian advice.
No, truly.
You're such a trickster.
No, I'm. You know what? This could
it's
just,
in your blood.
This could just be something you overheard the wrong way that someone said. Or
have you ever done anything like that?
No, of course
truly.
not.
Truly.
Have you connived?
I've never made
connived. That's exactly what the word is. That's exactly right, Allison.
I don't think I ever have, although it sounds pretty glamorous. But I don't think I ever have.
You've never dropped something so that someone else would pick it up and then go
okay,
with it?
Okay. One time.
Uh-huh.
I did.
You are your mother's son.
I did find, but this was like telling on a sibling. But I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, that's,
I found a marijuana pipe. And I was really pissed at one of my siblings. And I found they had hid it under like the grill in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
So I remember telling my dad, do you think we could grill something this afternoon? Which is not a question that has ever left my mouth. And this was on a Saturday. And he was like so stoked.
He loves to grill.
And just that, like, I mean, we're not close really, or we weren't.
Yeah.
And so he was like, yeah, what do you want to grill? I was like, your choice. And he lifted up the grill and saw the pipe. And I immediately regretted it.
How old are you?
14.
And who got in trouble?
My sister. That's a lie. No, she was probably 14.
Did she get in big trouble?
No, not even really.
Wait, yeah. Why did you immediately regret it?
Just because it happened and I was like, oh, fuck, she's going to get in so much trouble.
It was a dirty move.
Yeah.
It was a dirty trick.
Yeah, it was a dirty trick. Yeah. So that's the only time I really
did it. It taught you to not do it again, actually.
I never did it again.
Yeah. But now you're recommending.
And I don't think I would have ever done it to anyone who wasn't a sibling. A family. And this technically is family.
Yeah. Allison, what do you think?
This is really hard. Yeah. I really
because her feelings are hurt.
I think the only
and now she's regretting converting to Judaism.
I am.
Oh, she is absolutely.
I'm really.
She signed it. She signed a chopped liver.
Yeah, I know, Jewish. But that's But she, part of the problem is people don't think too hard about what your life is going to be. You make these sort of monumentous decisions. But you don't think that hard about
changing your religion.
It could alienate you from your own tribe. You don't think about that. You think that it's just something new I'm going to do in my life. You don't think that. So, for instance, when she converted, I'm sure it didn't occur to her, I'll never have Easter. I'll never have Christmas at my house. And now she doesn't. And so she's not, she can go when other people invite her, but she's not the center of something anymore. She's created a new family with it. She chose her husband's family, sort of. And so that feels a little lonely because she's probably also, like she's saying, she doesn't speak Spanish. She feels that she's missing out on that part of her identity. Her mother is her connection to that identity. And this girl, this sister-in-law, is totally of that ilk. So she is giving the mother the generational relationship that she wanted. If you see what I mean.
Plant meaning, cigarettes around the crib.
Meaning the mother, in some ways, the mother feels she lost her daughter when her daughter converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
So this girl has slid in and taken over. They can talk about things that they have in common. And the daughter can't really do that as much anymore. But I think these two are headed for a crash.
Yeah, I mean, I think sadly all you can really do is try to spend more time with the family,
mother.
Try to reconnect, and just wait it out.
I don't think...
Because there's nothing else.
I don't think you can say something.
What about a Cinco... No. Why can't you have like a Cinco de Mayo party at your house? That's not a religious... It doesn't have to be Cinco de Mayo, but something where... Because I do think also, I can see you're very young, you have a young child... And
have a New Year, 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo.
But something she's concerned about, maybe, maybe not, I'd be curious, is that she's relinquished a part of her identity by embracing a new one. And you also, your kids obviously spend a lot of time with their mother, with their grandmother, so they know who they are and where they come from. But there's nothing wrong with wanting a little bit more of that in your life, too. You can have, but those two things can exist together. It doesn't have to be around a religious holiday. But why not have a Cinco de Mayo or a Dia de los Muertos or some kind of tradition that you start at your house where everybody comes over and everybody gets to enjoy that part of their background and that you get to also enjoy
to get more
that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so that the family comes over and you're fun and you're, you know, if you're feeling alienated from that part of your life. But really, you have to just try and spend more time with your mother and... You don't have to see your identity as so split and bifurcated. You can have both things. Just it doesn't. You're
say,
not turning your back on Judaism just because you want to go eat a taco.
Or worst scenario, nothing is more stressful for even an extended family dynamic than an in-law who everybody hates. That sucks. Do you know what I mean? Like, that really is like...
But what about one that everybody loves? That's what's going on.
It might be just as difficult, but it sounds like the sister-in-law is lovely to her. And that she's... Because she says several times, she's... I couldn't ask for a better one.
Yeah.
She gets why people like her.
I think she could just ask for a less present one.
That's true. I mean, that is... I guess if you're close with your mother and your mother seems to prefer... It is sad. But I don't think it's going to last. I mean,
yeah, no,
the
I think
bond's
it's,
not the same.
Right. You are the blood relative.
Yeah, she
just
raised you.
Just bide your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also there's a certain amount of acceptance that needs to happen here, which is what you said. They're friends.
Yeah.
They have a friendship.
Yeah, she sounds like
you're
she's...
You're not your mother's best friend. You're not.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't sound like you're connected totally in that way.
What would Jordan do? What does he think of our relationship?
You and I?
Yeah.
I think he thinks it's wonderful that I have such a nice friend.
Do you think he'd ever...
But I don't think he feels threatened by you, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I'm just... I guess I'm sort of asking who's your favorite?
Oh. Okay.
Are you and Jordan close in age?
We're not terribly close in age.
No, you're not even...
Really
near,
at all.
You're not close at all.
Really at all. But you know, I'm young at heart and he's an old soul.
You meet in the middle.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
So
yeah,
I do think there's some common ground. I think we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is Jordan?
He's 20?
No, Jordan's 22.
Oh okay. My gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's really growing up.
He really is.
Yeah.
Comes so far.
Yeah.
Allison, you could only wish that any of your children would end up like Jordan.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's a role model. That's a role model. Hi, Ronna and Brian and Allison. I'm recently engaged. I've always wanted a small, beautiful, and intimate wedding ceremony followed by some sort of big, casual, blown-out type of reception. Blowout type. Blown-out. Luckily, my fiancé is absolutely on board. My question concerns both our wedding registration and honeymoon.
Okay.
Number one, we are only inviting about 30 people to our ceremony. Our reception, which will be about a month later, will be 200 people. Is it appropriate to give our registry out to all 200 reception guests or only the 30 people that will be at the ceremony or no one? I think asking people for gifts is weird in the first place, which leads me to my next question. Number okay. two, the honeymoon. Because we're having a relatively inexpensive wedding, I'd love to spend some money on our honeymoon. We both hate the heat, so we're thinking a romantic cabin in the snow somewhere. Our honeymoon funds tacky as a registration option. Ronna, where would you go on a romantic cabin getaway? We live in Oregon and are steering away from Colorado because we already visit there once or twice a year. Kiss, kiss, engaged and confused. Oh, like dazed and confused.
Yeah.
Cute.
Okay. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear what you both have to say before I weigh in.
Number one, all 200 should be getting that wedding registered. It's a party.
Yeah.
And they're there to celebrate you. And by the way, they want to.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I've never once actually attended a wedding. I'll be honest, I don't love a wedding, but anyone that I've chosen to go to, I want to buy a gift for. You're helping them set up their life. It's very nice, actually.
Just make sure there's options in all categories.
Of course, of course. But people want to do it.
Yes. So and they want to know what you want. They don't want, nobody really wants to have to think, oh, well, I know him better than her, so I know what he would want, but I don't know what they would want.
And you kind of only get one shot.
And
I mean, you can't really do it on
want.
A second
get what you
marriage
want.
As much.
No.
Right?
I don't think a registry on a second marriage is a great idea.
Is a thing. Okay. No. What do you think, Allison?
I agree. The big blowout party is similar to a wedding celebration. I mean, it is a wedding celebration.
Yeah, that's the celebration.
The ceremony is just a thing that happens before. So I agree. Give it out to all 200.
And I don't think that anyone, listen, this is me talking, but I don't think that anyone's going to feel slighted for not going to the 30-person ceremony. I don't think.
I think this is what she's doing is a really good idea because we had a basically family only and a couple friends wedding.
Okay.
It was 28 people. And I think
that's very nice.
Tiny.
Yeah.
And then we planned to have a big blowout like this, but we never did.
Because you got pregnant?
No. I wish it was because of something as fun as that. It was just, we just never got around to it. We never
did
it.
It's about momentum. If you don't plan it at the time, it's not going to
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that all sorts of people's feelings were hurt and they were confused that they didn't get invited and like stress.
So you're also helping these people out by making them feel like the big party's the wedding anyway.
And in the end, we wished that there had been more people there. So good job with this. And then I am interested to know what you guys think of a honeymoon registry fund. Because we did, there's a company that like makes it very easy and we did do that. Yes.
Yeah. I've given to it.
We did do that
for several different couples.
We had both a registry and honey fund.
Especially for people who made, I've done it, especially when like it's clear that the honeymoon is a big priority.
Yeah.
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 I've done that. But Rana, listen, the buck stops with you.
I feel like in Marblehead, they might do it differently.
I know. I do too.
I think it really has to do with how much money you have. So if the honeymoon is, look, honeymoon's expensive. And also what kind of trip you want to take. So if the honeymoon's going to be a big trip, whatever, or a little trip, it doesn't matter. It just depends on proportionate to your income, what if that's a real great expense to you. Some people have been living together for 10 years. They already have every pot and every pan they could ever want. And the only and they're very focused on the trip. So they want to go to Africa on safari right. or this or that. And maybe they would take a certain kind of trip if they were paying for it themselves. But maybe if they had a little help, they'd really blow it out and it would mean a lot to them. I'm not crazy, personally. I don't think this will surprise anybody. I'm not crazy about a honeymoon gift certificate. That's not my favorite thing.
Okay.
But I know that it's very common. And I know they try to make it cute sometimes. Buy us a round of margaritas.
Buy us a spa. Buy us
Buy us a that.
And so you like
but all the money
something
goes
more permanent.
To the same place.
Right. It does, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just a dollar amount. It's a gift card, basically.
Yeah.
But they make it sound cute so that you can feel better about it.
Feel like you gave them something.
Depending
an experience.
On, so a lower price point. But they also have hotel, certain Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the hotel website,
right.
which I'm very fond of. I usually use them when I'm cross-referencing a trip. I do my Amex. I do that. I'll do a cross-reference.
I do U.S. News.
Brian loves U.S. News and World Report.
Not a lie.
As his hotel recommendations.
Really?
My dad, really I grew up on it. That was like one of the subscriptions he would get.
So Texas.
And then one time he accidentally ordered Us Weekly instead of U.S. News. It
the greatest day of your life.
The whole year was like my fucking prime. I was in heaven.
What grade?
Because he wasn't reading it. Fifth, sixth.
Oh,
it was when okay was a little more prestigious. Yeah. Like, you know, or a little more higher brow.
Oh no, I used to get Us Weekly.
Yeah. I mean Us, that's what I meant.
Looked forward to it every wonderful.
The best.
So I think if you're trying to knock it out of the pack and the money does make a difference, why not give yourself the gift of a trip of a lifetime? I mean, some people like experiences and some people want stuff. So if I can get past my old-fashioned idea about not loving to give a person a gift card or whatever it is, I think it's wonderful.
You don't Truly. Love it because you think something it should be a little bit more permanent of a gift.
Or you think it's gauche to ask for cash.
It's more that.
Okay.
And then you can see, I mean, look, but who are we kidding? You go on the registry, you know how much money somebody spent on you if they bought this or they bought that. I don't love the idea because then I, you know, do they take the trip? What if they don't take the trip? And now we just gave them money and whatever. I suppose that's up to them. They can spend it how they want to spend.
Well, there's a gift card now called the Big Man gift card. And you can spend it at either, you can load up the card and it pays for either AutoZone, Bob's Big Boy, Burger King. And there's another one, I forget. Home Depot.
Allison, these are the moments.
So that's the Big Man gift card. And that way they can choose which place they want to spend it.
Oh, yeah. Go get some light fixtures.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, and you know what else is randomly on there?
Go re-caulk your bathtub.
It's all those like dude businesses. And then randomly Lord & Taylor's on there too.
Oh, weird.
It's very weird.
I mean, no. But also you could give somebody an Amex gift card. Or you could give them cash, write them a check.
I think that is a nice, aside from whether it's good for a registry or not, I think gift cards, gift certificates, cash, all that is a good gift. My husband doesn't. He feels like it needs to be a thoughtful gift. So
I've done both.
I mean, I think the whole point of the registry is to take the thoughtfulness out of it.
Yeah.
Which, don't think about it. Here's what we want. Mm-hmm. Make it, and people always think, oh, should we do a registry? Shouldn't we? Make it easier for people.
Yeah.
Also, people, I don't know how old you are, but people go to 40 weddings in a year. Just please, let me get you a salad bowl. Let me get you a salad bowl. Let me get you a salad bowl. And you'll use it, and either you'll remember I gave it to you or I won't at the end of the day. But if the trip is what you really want, you're spending all this money on the party and blah, 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 then sure, go ahead and do the honey fund.
Which leads us to Rana. Where would you go on a romantic cabin getaway that is not in Colorado?
Well,
or Colorado. Do you know you're supposed to say it like that?
You are?
Yeah. That's how they say it.
That's how they
Colorado.
Say it.
Colorado.
I think I
Colorado.
I say Colorado.
Me too. Yeah. They don't like it.
Well, did you know you're supposed to say Boise?
What?
Boise.
Are you kidding?
Boise? I swear.
Isn't it Boise?
No, it's Boise. Boise. According to Boiseans, Idahoans.
It's Boise.
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 Wow.
I mean, unless one of them gave me the wrong information, but it's Boise.
Boise.
I can't get on board.
Boise.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's high, there's low, there's everything in between here.
Well, okay, it's a honeymoon, so maybe we'll go high, or, you know,
well,
higher.
There is a lodge in near Whistler.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up. But there is a very quaint lodge near Whistler.
Okay.
In British Columbia. That would be something to look into. I don't know where these people are coming from. I don't know where they're going to. I don't know enough. I don't know whether Europe is an option or not. Of course, if Europe is an option, I would absolutely say the Swiss Alps, the Austrian Alps, the French Alps, any of the above. And that's a fabulous, you know, you'd be surprised, actually. It sounds like such an expensive trip, but you'd be surprised. There's so many. Vacationing in Europe is so important to the Europeans. They all get 6 weeks off or whatever
it is
for vacation.
Enjoy their.
They really believe everyone deserves a vacation, and so there are a lot of mid-range options that are wonderful and simple, and the food's great, and the beds are so comfortable. And so you could do that on almost any budget.
What about the Smokies? You were just there.
I was just in the Smokies at Blackberry Farm, which was absolutely incredible and would be wonderful on a honeymoon, and they would treat you like gold. But it's, you know, not cheap.
Race.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it absolutely does feel like a getaway.
Where are the Smokies?
In Tennessee.
This was East Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. She took a trip to a place called Blackberry Farms.
Just make sure when you book the room, you ask for a room that has a wood-burning fireplace, which most of them do, but there are a couple that don't.
And don't confuse Blackberry Farms with Knott's Berry Farm.
Please don't.
Because that's
very
not romantic.
Experience.
Please don't.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
We went to Hawaii.
Oh, fabulous.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
You can never go wrong with Hawaii.
You can't.
What about Jackson Hole, which is also wonderful?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful
spot.
But
I mean, it sounds like they go to Colorado.
Yeah. What about doesn't Half Moon Bay have a thing?
There's a Ritz-Carlton in Half Moon Bay.
I was going to say Canada as well, although I've never been there, but somehow it pops into my Instagram often, and my husband and I are always like, we should go there to one of those beautiful snowy places.
The Canadian Rockies are gorgeous.
Banff.
Banff, yes.
Banff.
Stunning. It really is. I mean, I know that that's sort of overplayed, but it is beautiful. It really is.
Any of the above. The other option is, which you just made me think of, what did you think of, say before, the Canadian?
Mount Baldy.
No. Oh, my God.
I
know. This isn't exactly that, but Mendocino County in Northern California is just absolutely gorgeous. And Big Sur is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you still get that cabin-y feel. And, I mean, it really is breathtaking. It's not snowy, but it's breathtaking. And there's certainly nothing wrong with going to the Post Ranch Inn in Big Sur and having a honeymoon, having a night there, or doing a night or two there, and then doing a sort of lower end somewhere else. But I do think you should at least splurge on two nights of a fabulous hotel.
Yeah.
So that you really get that honeymoon feeling.
Even if it's not
something that you ever do again.
And even if it's just a night or two, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations. All right. Allison, before we get to our big tease.
Ooh.
Let's do a giveaway.
Yes. Are we giving away an oversized tee?
What? We're giving away a nightshirt and a free haircut. Brian's going to come to your house in a nightshirt.
That's true.
And
Allison will take one part of your head. I'll take the other. We'll each have our scissors.
Yeah,
and make sure you bring a spray bottle.
Are we doing left, right, or front, back?
To get the
hair. What do you think's better? Front,
left,
back?
Left, right.
We're going to do them both.
Yeah.
We're just going to do a 360 on your head. Rana, tell us what the giveaway is this week.
You know, Brian, I feel like we've been a little bit chintzy with our giveaways lately.
Are you serious?
Am I wrong?
I think so.
Then I guess what I feel like is you know what, Brian? I feel like we need...
But our standards are very different.
I feel like we need a mid-winter pick-me-up.
Oh.
Just something a little bit extravagant. Because I think, aren't we all just in the sort of winter doldrums right now?
It's very cold here, mm-hmm. if you haven't noticed.
So this week, we are going to do...
A muff?
A gift... a gift basket from Fortnum & Mason.
You're kidding.
Wow.
Fortnum & Mason is a department store in London that Rana got me a Halloween gift basket from, which, by the way, ultimately led to me quitting sugar because...
He ate the whole basket. I ate it.
Yeah. I basically...
It was really the Pop-Tarts.
It was really the Pop-Tarts.
Did you see somebody posted they're making Pop-Tarts bites?
Did you see someone... so delicious. Did you see
Snack
that BuzzFeed...
Bites. Did you see them?
Yes, I did. Did you see that BuzzFeed posted? You open... This is crazy. You get a hammer.
Yeah.
You bust up the Pop-Tarts pieces in the package.
Okay. I don't like that.
You pour heavy cream.
Oh my God.
Into the package. You put it in the freezer and it's an ice cream treat. I kid you not.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. There was a whole video of it and I could not. And I just stumbled.
Make sure you email that. We got to post that.
We should post it. You're right.
In case anybody wants to live the Brian Safi life.
So these Fortnum & Mason gift baskets, by the way, you eat what's in the basket and then you put your sheets or towels in the basket.
You keep the hamper.
That's the hamper. I love it. And it had Pop-Tarts in it?
No.
This is my
first house. He ate too many Pop-Tarts.
I'm so confused.
Then he ate too much Halloween candy.
Okay.
And then he almost killed himself and so he stopped eating sugar.
That's right. Yeah. So it's called a Pop-Tart. Yeah, Pop-Tart ice cream and you make it yourself.
That sounds absolutely disgusting.
I think it sounds all right.
I do too.
to be honest.
But they have, did you know, so Brian, we had, for Halloween, we tried all the Halloween treats. And they did have these delicious pumpkin spice Pop-Tarts, which I knew they would be good because they do, with the strawberry, they do a good job.
Fox 13 covered it too.
And also the brown sugar. I knew they could make the flavor work.
Right.
All you do is add heavy cream to crushed up Pop-Tarts, freeze for 2 to 3 hours.
Brian really wanted that cereal milk feel. He wanted a Lucky Charms. He really wanted Pop-Tarts cereal.
Well, really what I wanted was a fast way to cool down the Pop-Tarts.
Oh, after they came out of that toaster?
Correct. And I had heavy cream in the
pantry. Why did you ever heat them if you wanted them to cool down?
Because I like them crispy. And warm, not hot.
Okay, fair enough.
So you decided
to treat it like it was a piece of pie, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the heavy cream came in.
I ended up basically drinking a quart of heavy cream and eating two packs of Pop-Tarts. And I haven't...
Two packs?
I haven't... No, I mean two boxes is what I mean.
You had 12 Pop-Tarts.
I think in like an hour, I ingested 11,000 calories or something.
Yeah. You know, what I didn't realize... And by the way, Pop-Tarts is not a thing that I keep in my house often because I would be...
No, you can't. I just go crazy.
They were there because my son was into them for a little while. And I thought that the calorie count was for two of them.
So did I.
No.
You thought one sleeve was a
240 or 280 or whatever. Yeah. No, each pop, each, which by the way, when you think about it, that's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It is.
But,
each one's 120 calories.
One little envelope has two servings.
Yep.
That is, I don't like that. Yes, that's what it is.
So now they have a Pop-Tarts minis. Which looks great. They come in a bag, like a bag of pretzels.
I like that.
And they're just mini little Pop-Tarts. I'd be curious, though, about the ratio, because I'm always interested in the ratio.
I like more
of what, crust to
I want to eat the crust.
I like more crust.
Yeah. I'll eat the crust around the edge, and then I'll eat
if they sold the crust as toast, I would buy the shit out of it.
They should.
I think it's called shortbread.
Yeah, but no. Yeah. But no.
I know what you mean, though. But it's a pie-ish crust.
Yeah. All right, okay. So we're giving away a Fortnum. By the way, everyone just now pulled into a 7-Eleven and is buying Pop-Tarts. There's no way we undersold how delicious they are.
No. Okay. And that they're going to try the treats.
Fortnum & Mason. Are you serious?
I'm serious. I didn't say how big it was going to be.
You did. Doesn't matter.
I just said it was going to happen.
All right, so yeah, Allison, who should get this Winter Wonderland Fortnum & Mason gift basket that they can then put sheets and towels in? Should it be haircut, Lauren or Mary?
Okay.
Should it be
Francis?
Francis. Should it be London solo trip that someone's crashed in on?
Okay.
Should it be?
It is her birthday coming up.
You're right. Should it be the lady with the sister-in-law, who's the sister-in-law's getting more attention, or should it be? Am I crazy for inviting 30 people to the wedding, 200 reception guests?
Is there any criteria I need to follow?
Your heart.
Just your heart.
Okay. It should be the girl whose mother is shutting her out. Because while she may lack motherly love right now, she can have a cool gift basket.
And you could share it with your mother.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You always want people to share everything.
I do?
Yeah. You always say, or you want them to give it away.
Oh, well, Brana, I was raised a Christian. I was raised by the New Testament. Okay.
We need you to read the
My God
Talmud.
Is not a God of revenge.
I'm going to have you read the Talmud. Yo, he isn't?
No, he is. He is.
Okay.
He is.
Tell that to the rapture. Yeah.
You're right. I do always want people to share. And by the way, sharing is overrated.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's nice to share, but you don't have to give everything away. That sometimes things are just for you.
You're right.
And they're
You're
meant
right.
to make you feel special.
I feel like I've
and
learned that
the
hard
we
way.
Give things away here is to make the question asker feel special. So if she chooses to share it, she should, but she shouldn't feel that she has to.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, and if that sister-in-law comes sniffing around, no.
Oh, don't share a thing with her.
Eve was weak, and so am I.
Oh, boy.
So it
Adam's
goes.
Rib. Here we
That's
go.
Right. All of a sudden, we get very religious, which I'm not at all.
I know. You just happen to remember. It's all in your reference bank.
It is.
Allison Rosen.
Yes.
We loved having you here.
Thank you for
Oh, so we're giving it to her.
No.
We're giving it to the
one
with the sister-in-law. Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Because the one who's going to London can go to Fort
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Herself. I did think about giving it to her because it's her birthday.
Right.
But she's going to go right in there and have some tea. In fact, sweetheart, book that now.
Their tea, I had a high tea there. It was delicious.
Yeah, they have a fun, the store gets a little crazy downstairs. I actually prefer to mail order from them than I do to go in there. But it's a beautiful Alice in Wonderland of a store.
And by the way, the tea you can get sweet or savory. I got the savory and it was the craziest fucking shit I've ever seen in my
what
life.
What did it taste like?
Jellied meats. Yeah. It was crazy.
No, I would get the sweet
tea. I loved it though.
I would get the sweet tea because they'll still give you the finger sandwiches.
Yes, correct.
And then they give you all the little petty fours, et cetera, et cetera. But that's my, I like a very traditional tea.
Yeah.
And you want to go to the top floor.
That's right.
And that's the tea that I like is the Fortnum and Mason tea.
All right. Allison.
Now, we loved having you here. If you don't mind sticking around for a second.
I would love to.
First of all, can we plug everything she's doing?
Please.
I'm so embarrassed that I didn't.
Allison okay. Rosen is your new best friend. It comes out twice a week. That's correct. Twice a week.
What days does it come out?
Monday and Thursday. And Monday is a one-on-one. Okay. Which Brian's been on it.
I have.
Brian and Aaron have been on
Correct.
It.
Correct.
And then on Thursday, I have it's a group show. Okay. And we kind of talk about our lives. And
yeah.
I've got a gang.
She's got
a panel.
And
exactly.
does it rotate who's on the panel?
There's some people who are always on, seats that rotate.
Semi-regular
Who
people.
Who are the usuals?
The usuals are Tony Thaxton, my producer.
Sure, of course.
Daniel Quantz, my husband.
Sure.
And then the other seats rotate, but you'll get to know them, and then they pop up a lot. So it's like a small group that rotates in and out.
Who are the regulars?
Jordan Morris.
Jordan Morris is on frequently.
Is on there a lot.
Terrific.
David Huntsberger. Fabulous. Is on there a lot. Who's
Renee
fabulous.
Culvert is on.
Oh, yeah. Lot.
Joe Quazala. Do you guys know him?
Yes.
He's very funny.
Quite a group.
Yeah.
Wendy Molyneux. Very funny.
This is a fabulous group. Yeah.
She writes for Bob's Burgers. She's hilarious. I feel like, Jackie Johnson comes on
a
lot. Oh, Kevin Porter.
Amazing.
Yeah. Star-studded.
So that's Thursdays.
And Thursdays.
And you have a Patreon.
I do.
To say.
Thank you. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
One L,
you guys.
A-L-I-S-O-N.
That's
right.
And then
what
like
are your social handles?
Oh, but I also have another podcast.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so of course, with hysterical Greg Fitzsimmons.
Greg Fitzsimmons. It's Childish. It's our irreverent parenting podcast.
I didn't know about it.
Now I'm telling you.
Now I know.
No, but at least half of our listeners don't have children. You really don't need to have a kid.
No, you're both so funny and
charming. On the way over, I was thinking, should we really still classify this as a parenting podcast? I shouldn't be revealing that. But anyway, we do talk.
It's just called what it's called.
We do talk about our kids, though, and parenting in general, but we also talk about a lot of other stuff.
And also it says ish.
Ish. That's right.
So it's not just maybe you're more of an ish than a child.
Yeah.
And that comes out Wednesdays. So please, it's newish.
Oh God, you're so busy.
Please go check that out.
But it's wonderful because there's so many ways that people can come engage
with
you.
That's right. And on Twitter and Instagram, at Allison Rosen, just 1L. Don't blame me. My parents did it to me.
I like 1L.
I do too. I like it better.
I think it's
less cluttered.
Classy.
I do too.
More minimalist.
It is. It is. Allison, before you go, we're going to do something very exciting.
What?
We have one question left that we're not going to answer here.
No.
Is it the best one?
Yes. It's the best. You know what? They're all great.
Mm-hmm.
This is also great. What we're doing on our Patreon episode coming out is we are answering questions that were directly messaged to us on Patreon. We're also going to be answering this question. So if you want our advice on this particular question, Ronna doesn't know this question. It is hot, hot, hot.
Ooh.
If this speaks to you.
Go to patreon.com/askRonna.
And the answer will be waiting for you there.
Correct.
Okay. subject. My boyfriend is gay? Question mark.
Mm.
Oh boy. I recently found, not even, this person is in such dire straits, they didn't even say, dear Ron and Brian. They just said,
right to the question.
I recently found out in high school, my boyfriend would meet up with a gay friend of mine in the bathroom and get a blowjob from him. Oh, Brian, here we go. You chose this.
I did.
Oh, let me take a breath.
Sorry, Ron.
There were rumors that they made a sex tape. And when I started dating him, I asked him if this was true, and he denied it. But my friends told me that it was, and to tell him I saw the video. I later told him, don't lie, I saw the sex tape, and I knew it was him. He admitted to it and told me he didn't like it and would never do it again, so I believed him.
Ugh, heartbreaking already.
Later on, it came out it happened multiple times, and I asked him again about it, and he said the same thing, that he didn't like it, and it was a mistake, and so forth. I was clearly bothered by it, and it took me time to not think about this. Flash forward 2 years of dating, we are now in college, and a friend of ours both told me my boyfriend made a secret Snapchat to contact the gay man and showed me that there was a video on a site of the gay man giving a blowjob to an unknown guy, which kind of looked like his dick. I can't. Brian, you're fired. I mean, is that what's going on? You don't want to come to Marblehead anymore?
No, not
so you just, you say to me, Rana, don't read the question. I have a fun one for you. You'll just read it on the air.
I thought you'd be tickled by it, but now you're reading it. I see that maybe you're
Which kind of looked like his dick and was also in a bathroom, but I couldn't tell. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I, of course, asked him, and he denied this, but he seemed very convincing. What do I do? Is my boyfriend gay? The gay man he got blowjobs from is very feminine, and I'm not sure if that matters, question mark. Is he cheating on me? How do I get this video out of my head? Thank you so much, Smiley Smiley. For the answer to this,
I am signing up for Patreon.
I am
so much more
sweating.
Go to patreon.com/AskRana.
And in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. And I am truly, I feel like I'm going to jump off a bridge after this. All right. See you on Patreon, and also see you next week. And
kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.